Yesterday was the fifth of Teves, so we would not be fasting on Shabbos. Whenever we have a fast day that lands on Shabbos, we push it off. We don't observe it on Shabbos, other than Yom Kippur. So we'll be fasting today. Obviously, everybody is partaking of the refreshments. So I guess we know in advance the answer is that there is not a fast day on the fifth of Teves. But the question is, why should there be a fast day on the fifth of Teves? And we're going to see that actually, according to one Shita in the Gemara, there is a fast on the fifth of Teves. And we'll try and understand why that is and what the... again, we don't paskin that way. We'll say in advance. But we'll get some other interesting insights, I think, along the way. We know from the Pasuk in Navi that there is a fast during the month of Teves. The Pasuk says in Zechariah, Parakhes, Pasuk Yud Tes, in the first of the sources, there's a reference in that Pasuk, a famous Pasuk, Komashem Tzokos, Tzom Horvi, V'tzom HaChamishi, V'tzom HaShri, V'tzom HaSiri, four fast days are mentioned in that Pasuk. Now that Pasuk is talking about in L'Asid Lavo, the future, these days will be Yil HaBeis Yehuda, L'Sosan, L'Simcha, L'Madim Tomo, M'es HaShalom HaHavo, in the future will be days of joy, etc. But for our purposes, we find a reference to Tzom HaRavi, the fast of the fourth month. Okay, the fourth month, again, we always begin with Nisan, Achod Yisrael, Rosh Chodesh, so Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. So the fast of the fourth month is what we call Shavuot B'Tammuz. B'Tzom HaChamishi, that's the fifth month, that's Av, Tisha B'Av. Tzom HaShavi, the fast of the seventh month, that's Tishrei, the seventh month, starting from Nisan, that's what we call Tzom Gedalia. Yom Kippur is not in this mix, it's a different category altogether. And neither is Tanis Esther for also different reasons later. But then B'Tzom HaAsir, the fast of the tenth month. The tenth month is Teves. Okay, so the Pasuk refers to Tzom HaAsiri, a fast in the tenth month, in the month of Teves. Notice that the Pasuk does not, regarding any of the fast, say exactly which day of the month the fast, it just tells you the month that the fast happens to be in. Okay, that's a famous Pasuk, and that's really the mokar in Kisra Kodesh, in Torah Shvichsav, for the concept of these four fast days that are all associated with the Chorban. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, the second of the sources, Amachlokas Shimon Rebbe Kiva, Tanya, Amar Reb Shimon, Arba Dvarim, Hayar Rebbe Kiva, Doresh, V'ein Ani Doresh Kamoso. Rebbe Shimon says that there are a number of things which Rabbi Akiva darshins and learns, Psukim, and I don't learn it the same way. The details of the other three, the only one is mentioned here, as Rashi points out in the third source. Rashi, Dibra Masa Arba Dvarim, Rashi, Zu Achas, Mem Vashosha, Shunim, Tosef, Tosota. The other three are mentioned elsewhere, not our concern right now. But the concern of the Gemara Shan Dav Yilches is this Pasuk regarding these fast days. And what is it? So Akiva explained, again the second source, Tzom Harvi, Zet Tisha B'Tammuz, Shebo Hufka Ha'ir. That's the ninth of Tammuz, which is the day on which the city walls were breached during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Shenemar, he quotes a pasuk from Tanakh, that Besisha Chodesh and so on, that the walls were breached. And why is it called Tzom Harvi? Reveal a Chadash. Now we fast not on the ninth of Tammuz, but on the 17th of Tammuz, because by the Bayis Sheni, which is the Golos that we're still in, that happened the 17th of Tammuz. That's not our issue right now, but it's called Chodesh Harvi, Reveal a Chadash. Continues the Gemara there on the third line of source 2. Tzom HaChamishi, Zet Tisha B'Av, Shebo Nisr Beis Elokeinu. That's Tisha B'Av, on which the day Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Amai Karli Chamishi, why is it called the fifth? Tzom fast of the fifth? Chamishi L'Chadashim. Tzom HaShavi, Zeh Shlosha B'Tishrei, Shebo Nera Gedalia Ben Achikam. Right, that's the day on which Gedalia was assassinated, the third of Tishrei. One opinion was assassinated on Rosh Hashanah, but we observe it in the third of Tishrei. Again, not our issue in detail now. The third, that's the fast of Tishrei. Gedalia was assassinated. Umi Harago, Yisham Ben Asanya, tells a little bit about Tzom Gedalia, Lamercha Sheshkula, Misosan Shol Tzadikim, Kitzreva Space Elokeinu, the terrible thing that this Tzadik Gedalia was assassinated by a fellow Jew. So it's like the destruction of Beis Hamikdash. So Amai Karle Shri, Shri Lachadashim. Again, why is it called the seventh, fast of the seventh, or the seventh month? Tzom HaSiri, Zasar B'Tavis. The fast of the 10th month, the month of Teves, is Asar B'Teves, which is this coming Thursday. Okay, what happened then? Says the Gemara, Shabo Somach Bavel, Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. That was the day that the king of Bavel, as Rashi says, look in the third source, back and forth, Somach Melech Bavel, Hischil Latzur Aleha. That's the day that the siege of Yerushalayim began. The first Beis Hamikdash, the siege by Melech Bavel and Nebuchadnezzar of Yerushalayim that ultimately resulted in the destruction of the city and the destruction of Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, Vahid Rashon Alay, Vashon HaChis, Bachodesh HaSir, Basar LaChodesh HaMor, Ben Adam, Ksav Lachon, and so on and so forth. Psukim that indicate that the siege, Shesamach, Melech Bavel, Yerushalayim, etc. Vamai Karle Asiri, why is it called the fast of the 10th? Because Asiri LaChadoshim, it's the 10th month. Okay. That's all Rebbe Kiva. Okay. Now, the truth is, says the Gemara, or says Shimon, V'halo hayu roi zeh lichtov rishon, shouldn't that have been mentioned first chronologically, historically? The event for which we commemorate Asar B'Teves happened first, right? And the siege of Yerushalayim began, obviously, before they breached the walls, before they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, before Gedaliah was assassinated. So really, if the Pasuk were following the chronological, historical order of the events, then the first of the events to happen was the event commemorated Asar B'Teves, the laying siege in Yerushalayim. V'halo roi zeh lichtov rishon. So no, lama nechtov kan, kedei lahastir chadoshim kiti kanon. Because the Pasuk lists the events in order of the calendar year, not the chronological, historical order of when the events took place, but rather the calendar year. Vani eni omer kain, continues Rav Shimon, this is not the way I learn things. That's how Bekiva learned. Rav Shimon began, remember, by saying that he learns one thing, he learns one way, Bekiva learns the other way. I don't learn like Bekiva, continues the Gemara. Vani eni omer kain. Again, this is all Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches Tam Beis. Ela, Tzom Ho Asiri, the fast of the 10th month, Zechamisha B'Teves. Not Asar B'Teves, but the 5th of Teves. Hence the title of the Shir, why should there be a fast on the 5th of Teves? Well, according to Rabbi Shimon, there was. The Tzom Asiri is not what we call Asar B'Teves, is coming Thursday, but rather the 5th of Teves, which was yesterday, and again, we'd be fasting today, had we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. We paskin like Rabbi Kiva. But had we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, the fast on the 5th of Teves. What in the world happened then? We know what happened on the 10th of Teves, that's when the siege began. What happened on the 5th of Teves that Rabbi Shimon argues it should be a fast day? Shabo bos Shmuel Agola Shehuk Sohair. Because that is the day that the Jews living in exile were notified that the Beis Hamikdash had been destroyed several months earlier. In other words, let's remember, we don't have communication like today where you can tweet and send emails and texts or whatever else. When the Beis Hamikdash fell, there wasn't much travel between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and there were already Jews, as we'll see in a moment, living in Bavel. They did not even know that the Beis Hamikdash had been destroyed. Because, again, it was a wartime, there wasn't people traveling and so on. So they didn't hear about it. They heard about it on the 5th of Teves, as the Pasuk says, Shenemar, I'm going to see the Pasuk momentarily, Shenemar, Vahi, B'Shtei HaShoshana, Basiri, in the 10th month, B'Chamish, Alachos, Yechezkel talking. Yechezkel was a Navi living in Golas, living in Bavel. He was there in Bavel. He said, on the 12th, B'Shtei HaShoshana, the 12th year, since we were in Golas, Basiri, the 10th month, B'Chamish, Alachos, Shalgoluseinu, Bo Eli Hapalit Mirushalayim Lemar Huksair. A refugee came to me from Yerushalayim, an escapee came to me from Yerushalayim and told me that the city had fallen. V'asu Yom Shmua Ki Yom Sreifa. And the Jews of Bava mourned on that day, because they didn't mourn on Tishra, they didn't know about it. They mourned on that day, the 5th of Teves, when they got word, and therefore Asu Yom Shmua Ki Yom Sreifa. V'nirin Dvarai Midvarav. Rabbi Shimon says, my approach to the Pesukim, surprisingly, he thinks his approach is better. Nirin Dvarai Midvarav, I think my approach to the Pesukim is better. Shani Omar Rishon Rishon Al Achron Achron, because now the Pasuk Taka follows the chronological historical events, right? Tomah Ravi, which the first, that's Shavuot Sabbatam, was when the walls were breached. Then Tisha B'Av, then a few months later, Gedaliah was assassinated. And then, a few months after that, the Jews in Bavel received word on the 5th of Teves of that year that the city had fallen. So according to me, says Rav Shimon, the Pasuk is following not only the year in terms of the calendar year, but it's actually recording the events in their chronological historical order. Okay, according to him, you got to catch that the Pasuk is out of order. He's following the order of the month, and I'm following the order of the tragic events. Okay, so that's, you can look in the Rashi's, that's the Gemara. Let's look quickly, a little bit of historical background, just to see what's going on here. It's important to recognize, and most people know this, but it's always good to review, that 11 years before the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, on Tisha B'Av of that year, many Jews were already exiled to Bavel. A percentage of Jews were taken away, the Pesukim described in the end of Melachim Beis, Perakov Dalet, okay, we'll take a look in source 4, a little history. Starting in Pasuk Yud through Yud Ches, just to see the events. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar came and they laid siege in Yerushalayim, and the king at that time was Yehoyachin, also called Yechaniah, Melech Yehuda. It says in Pasuk Beis, the king of Babel in the 8th year of his reign took the Yoyachin and his officers and so on. And Yud Gimel by Yotze Misham is called Otsos Beis Hashem, by Otsos Beis Hamelach. He took many treasures. By Yikatzes is called Kleazov. Asher Oso Shlom Melach Asov. Hechal Hashem Asher Dibur Hashem took many treasures and many precious stuff from the days of Shlomo. Yet Yud Dalid Vehigla is called Yerushalayim. Is called Asarim. Is called Gibur Achayel. Aseres Alofim Gola Vechol Hachoresh Hamasker Lo Nishar Zulas Dalas Amhoret. He led into exile at that point. Okay, the king, his officers, and what we would call today, I guess, the intelligentsia, right? The upper class, the wealthier people were already taken away at that point by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, and as it says in the end of Pasuk Gadal, Lo Nishar Zulas Dalas Amores. Who was left in Yerushalayim? The poorer class, the lower class, the poorer people. And Yutezva by Yogelas, Yoyachin, Bovele, took Bovel there, and the king and his mother, the queen mother, and so on. All the people were taken to Bovel. And it mentions also this Choresh in Moscow. We'll see what that means. It said at the end of Pasuk Yudal, it says it again in Pasuk Tezayin. They call Anshe Achayel, Shiva Salofim, Choresh, Amaskar, Elev, whoever, we'll see what they are. This group of people are all taken to Bovel. And Yudzayin by Yimlach, Melach Bovel, as Matanya, Dodo, Tachta, Vayasa, Vishmo, Tzidkiyo. And he appointed, in effect, a puppet king, okay, by the name of Matanyahu, the lady is called Tzidkiyo as well. And as the Pasuk says, he ended up ruling for 11 years, the Pasuk in Ches, that this new king, Tzidkiyo, was put in place by Nebuchadnezzar, Ben Esim Achaz Shana Tzidkiyo, Malcho, he was 21 years old, Chases Rei Shana Malach Yerushalayim, he ruled for the next 11 years. Okay, so what we see here, that Yerushalayim was not destroyed, Beis Hamikdash was not yet destroyed, but many of the upper class and the king and the officers and you know the nobility, what we call the aristocracy, the intelligentsia, they were all already exiled into Bavel. Okay, just to quote a pasuk we're familiar with in source number 5, that's the pasuk in Megillas Esther at the beginning of Perek Beis when Mordechai is first identified. Right, Ish Yehudi, right? Esther Perek Beis Pesukim Hey and Vav. We also, what's one of the Pesukim we say out loud? Right on Purim, Ish Yehudi Hayu B'Shabi Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yar Ben Shimon Kish Ishimini. And then it says about him in Pasuk Vav, and our minig is to read, at least by the Ashkenazim, is to read that Pasuk in the Eicha Trop, Remember Asher Hagam, Yerushalayim, Imag, right? Who is this Mordechai ben Yor ben Shimon Kish, you mean? Asher Hagam Yerushalayim, Im Hagola Asher Hagasom Yechonim Melech Yehuda. He had been exiled into Bavel, together with the Yechonim Melech Yehuda, Asher Hagam Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. So Mordechai was among those Jews. Now there's some questions, you know, a lot of people were named in that previous passage. Mordechai ben Yor ben Shimon ben Kish, so who exactly was it that was one was led away? But I don't go into that problem that left. It's who was Mordechai. Okay, so Mordechai was led here, his father was among those Jews who were led into exile, into Bavel, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. That was 11 years before the Chorban HaBayis. Who is this Choresh or Hamaskir? So that's the Gemara in the end of Gittin, source number 6, Gittin Pei Ches Amar Aleph. Amar Chista, Amar Mar Ukba, Amrila, Amar Chista, Yemer, whoever it is, Darish, Marema, Maidik Siv, Vaishkar Hashem al Arom, Vaivel, Leki, Tzadik Hashem al Kainu, quotes a Pasuk that Hashem was such a Tzadik that he brought the evil upon us quickly. Strange Pasuk, Mishum, Vitzadik, the Tzadik Hashem al Kainu, Vaishkar Hashem al Arom, Vaivi Aleno, what we're praising on Kaddish Baruch Hu's Tzidkus because he brought evil upon us. Ella, yes, Tzidaka Osa Kaddish Baruch Hu, Mishrael, Shehegla Golos Tzidkiyahu, Vadayin Golos Yechonya Kayemes. The Gemara says it was a tzedakah. It was an act of tzidkus on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that by the time, 11 years later, Tzidkiyahu, right, when he was the king, as we'll see in the next set of psukim, when the Chorban HaBayis took place, 11 years later, when the city was destroyed and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he was led into Golos, and those rest of that people who were left behind, the Sheres HaPleita, were also exiled to Bavel, that was a tzidkus that the Golos Yechoni was still there. Those two strange words. What's a choresh hamasker? Elef, the thousand of them. Choresh, it's refers to Talmidei Chachamim. Shebishop sheposim nasu akol kacharoshim. It was referring to the Talmidei Chachamim. When they start talking, everybody becomes like they can't speak. They were so dazzled by their brilliance. Who could answer? That's called choresh. Masker, kevan shesogun shuv enon posim. And when they decide, they close the books on a topic, that's the end of it. Right? It's solved. It's settled. In other words, what this Gemara in Gittin says, you can look in the Rashis, okay, what this Gemara says, look in the important Rashi in 7, Golos Yechonya, there in Gittin Peches and Aleph, the third line of source 7, Hu Yehoyachin Kadma LeGolos Tzidkiyo Achasas Reishana. That gullus of the intelligentsia and the choresh v'hamasker, which refers to, according to the Chazal, to the Talmid HaChachamim, like I said before, the intelligentsia, they were exiled 11 years before. Zui tztaka. Shemeir behechrit beisa kadei lahaglos dorah shol tzidke lebovel be'ir be'od shechach me'golos yechanya kayamin. We wanted to make sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, we wanted to make sure that when those people would come to Bavel, there would still be a remnant of the community that had been established 11 years earlier. Okay? She'ilamdu Torah le'elo ha'golam achrayim. V'she'rov chachme ha'torah golu im yichanya. T'chsid b'hu ha'charash ha'maske elef. The most of the chachme ha'torah, the gedolei hador, the chachamim, were exiled with yichanya 11 years earlier. In other words, basically, it was a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He brought that next Golas, to Bavel, there was already a community set up there. Right? You already had, I don't know, whatever the Jewish community needs. You had Talmid Chachamim there, the yeshiva, the mikvos, whatever, pizza shops, whatever. Whatever's important for a Jewish community to survive, right? Shuls in all seriousness. In other words, there was a structure. There was an infrastructure and an opportunity to teach Torah to these people and so on. So that's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this chesed. But I bring this in now to simply show you that, again, to confirm the fact that 11 years before the Chorban Bayis Rishon, the Choresh HaMasker, together with the nobility, were exiled. Then, finally, you have in Melachim Beis, Perek Chof Hei, Tzor's Eid, then, you know, 11 years later, 11 years after that original Golos of Yechonya Melech Yehuda that's referred to about Mordechai and so on in Megillas Esther and Perek Beis. So here we have Melachim Beis, Perek Chof Hei, it's all Pesukim in Nach. Here we have in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day, that's what we call Asar B'Teves. That's when the siege began. That's the pasuk referred to earlier. It's right there. Okay, it's actually not the pasuk, it's in Yecheskel, but it's a parallel pasuk. Okay, telling us that in the tenth month, the tenth day, what we call Asar B'Teves, the siege began. And but and the siege lasted for 3 years. Okay, from the ninth year through the 11th year of the reign of Tzidkio, and finally the siege shall achodesh by echza karov b'ir v'lechem amaretz, and finally by tibakah ir v'chol anshe melchama. You know, in the city, the walls were breached and the city fell, and so on. And they caught the king. And if you look in Pasuk Ches, Uva Chodesh HaChamishi, in the fifth month, that's Og. V'shiva L'Chodesh Hishnas Chasre L'Melech Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bava Bon Ebuzradon Rav HaTavachim Eved Melech Bava B'Yushalayim, Pasuk Tez, V'Yisrof Ez Beis Hashem, Ez Beis HaMelech. They learn that it took 3 days, he set fire to the Beis HaMikdosh, and so on, and that's the end of the, and as the Pasuk Yudalov there says, they exiled the rest of the people. So there you have, you put everything together. So we see that 11 years before the Beis HaMikdash, many Jews were exiled from Yerushalayim already 11 years before the Chorban. Then the final blow, so to speak, was we call Tisha B'Av, where the rest of the people were exiled. So you had among the Jews who were exiled earlier with the king Yechonya, besides Mordechai, was Yechezkel HaNavi. Yecheskel Hanavi was the Navi in Golos, the very first pasuk of Yecheskel Perik Aleph. Avani b'soch ha'gola nahar kor. We land the first day of Shavuos. Many people are sleeping at that time, but that is the haftarah of the first day of Shavuos, right? Avani b'soch ha'gola al ha'kor. I was among that exile, and so on. Yecheskel was there. So here's the pasuk that's relevant to us to come back to our issue, source 9. Yecheskel Perik Lamed Beis Lamed Gimel pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayhi b'shteyas reishana b'asiri b'chamish alachor shagaloseinu ba elaya palit mirushalayim lemor huksahir. In the tenth month, Tevis, fifth day, a refugee from Yerushalayim came and informed me that the city fell. So it took basically 5 months. It was a Tisha B'Av, right? So El Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev Tevis, but about 5 months till they got the word. It sounds like a lot, but again, it was a different world in those days in terms of traveling. I don't know exactly where the Jewish community was, where Yecheskel was in Bavel. And again, it was wartime, so it wasn't easy. And evidently, at some point, a refugee came to Yecheskel and informed him. So now, coming back to our issue, so Reb Shimon in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches and Reis, says that was the day that the Jews of Bavel, which again were the majority of the people, certainly the more knowledgeable people, the upper class people, heard that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So therefore, the fast of the Tzom HaAsiri, that's alluded to in that pasuk in Zechariah that we started with, was not what we call Asar B'Teves, but rather the fifth of Teves, because that's when they heard that the city had fallen, and that day was a day of great mourning. Adkan, that's the Shita of Reb Shimon. The question is, I understand that year, okay, when they got word that the city fell, they made a big day of Avelus on the 5th of Teves. But something's missing. Why would Rav Shimon say that for all time they would declare that that day would be the day of Avelus? Lamaisa, that's not when it happened. Just that they heard about it then. So I understand the first year when they got the word. So it was a great day of sadness. The Beis Hamikdash has fallen. But you don't have to mark it every year. They found, they knew when this palit, this escapee, this refugee, and subsequently other Jews who came there knew that it was on Tisha B'Av. People had been there. So, okay, so the first year, observe it as a day of mourning. But why be Koveya Ledoros, right? That the fast should be the 5th of Teves, even for us, you know, centuries and centuries later. Nothing happened on the 5th of Teves. Just because there wasn't communication, they didn't hear about it till then. But you don't observe the Avelos on the day that you heard, you happen to have heard the news because you heard it late. I mean, you do it that day. I mean, you know, a similar point to sometimes, I mean, again, today's world is harder to imagine, but, you know, at some point, even in the area of personal avelus, there'll be something called a shmua rechoka. You hear years later, a month later, whatever, that a relative died. So that day, you observe, it's like a mini shiva. You know, a person hears, if it's after 30 days, you get word that the relative had died. Again, it's harder to imagine today with communication, but that's the sugas and gemara and shulchan aruch and so on, shmua rechoka, shmua krova, and so on. Okay, but you don't observe the yahrzei from then on that day that you heard about it. You didn't find out, if you can find out when the person actually died. So that's the yahrzei, just that first year. So why here? As we stand with all these psukim, we understand now there was something about the 5th of Teves, which maybe we didn't realize before. According to this, it's a psukim, right? The 5th of Teves was the tragic news arrived in Bavel, as the Cheskel himself attests. But I still don't fully understand why there would be, Reb Shimon would hold that you got to be Koveya that day, Lidoros. Okay, when that's not the day it actually happened. That's the question. So, yeah.
Why would you even do it that particular day if communications were so poor? Wouldn't you say that he declared the next day or someday?
Okay, that's also good. Okay, that's an interesting point. But maybe, and I don't know the structure, maybe the Jews who were there all lived in the same area, so they were able to get them to Mincha. And I'm not sure. I don't know. But my point is, my kash against Reb Shimon is... that was that year they made it that day. But not to be Kovela Doros that day, just because that was the day they got the news that particular year. That's the question. So there's something else that's underlying this. I'd like to share with you an approach. This is an approach which was suggested by actually an uncle of my wife, Rabbi Shmayahu Shulman. Rabbi Shmayahu Shulman lived in Queens for many years now. I was in Lakewood, a big Talmud Chacham, many Sfarim. This sefer is called Shomer HaPesach. Where he goes into the great Shomer Pesach on Hilchos Nedarim, Hilchos Mila. So he wrote this up, and he has another Sefer on Sukkah Shalom in brief. Very, very interesting thought, which will give us, I think, some additional insight and maybe an approach to this question. But as I say, we'll pick up some interesting side points along the way. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Menachos. We'll have to hold the cup, but it's a very interesting approach, I think. Source 10. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Menachos, Kufam Beis, talking about the Lechem Haponim, the bread that was on the Shulchan in the Mishkan on the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so the bread, says the Mishnah, lechem aponim, kufam beizim menachos, nechal ein pochos mitisha velo yosalach. The bread, you know, that lechem aponim was eaten each week by the kohanim of that shift, okay, on Shabbos. Lechem aponim is eaten not less than 9 days after it was baked, and not more than 11. Ketzad. Well, nefas me'erev Shabbos. It was baked on Erev Shabbos each week, okay? It was set up on Shabbos. It was baked on Erev Shabbos, that we know. It was baked on Friday. So that's day one. The Friday includes the day of the baking. The day of the baking is included. It's Friday. That's the first day. The Nechal, the Shabbos, the Tisha, it's eaten the following Shabbos, which counting the day of the baking and the day of the eating is 9 days. That's the norm. It was baked on Shabbos, and the Kohanim of that shift would eat it the following Shabbos. That's the norm. But Chal Yontif Lios Erev Shabbos. But if Yontif was an Erev Shabbos, they didn't bake it on Friday. They had to bake it on Thursday. An Erev Yontif, okay, because it wasn't for eating on Yontif, it was eating, so you couldn't cook anything. On Yontif, you're allowed to cook and bake for Yontif itself. And we'll leave out the Erev Tavshilim problem right now. Okay, but it says, Chal Yontif Lios Erev Shabbos Nechal HaSoy, then we'll be eating 10 days. The following Sunday was 10 days later. And if Shnei Yomim Tovim Shor Rosh Hashanah, and what if the Rosh Hashanah was Thursday and Friday, and we know that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael, okay, so Rosh Hashanah was Thursday and Friday, then Nechal HaChadasor, because Eino Docha Lo Osa Shabbos Lo Osa Yontif. The baking is not Docha for Shabbos, and not good. Huh? Yeah, it's a very good, so it raises that question, is the following Shabbos Yom Kippur? It's a good point, okay, which is only right, because if Rosh Hashanah is Thursday and Friday, the following Shabbos is Yom Kippur. Okay, so, The Rashi said it means Motzoi Shabbos. You look at the top one of the next page. Look at those the Rashi's there in Menachos on that Mishnah. So Shneim Zeh Shoshu Kodem LeShabbos Nefar Barbav and Echalos Shabbos Shnia LaChar VeKasher Yom Kippur Yud Beis Ninu Doha Ein Echalos on Motzoi Shabbos. Okay, because of Yom Kippur. Okay, that's not a kasher because Achilas Kodshim. The night always goes after the day, so you can eat the Motzei Yom Kippur. It's still called the 11th day because by Kodshim we count the Beis Hamikdash. We usually assume the night is in advance of the day. By Erev Avoker, Shabbos begins Friday night. Yom Tov begins the night before. But in the Beis Hamikdash, night follows day. So that's a very good aura, but Rashi already deals with it. Okay. So regarding Rosh Hashanah itself, again, we know the Rambam Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh Parakei Alacha Zayin Alacha Ches tells us that Yom Tov Shor Rosh Hashanah Bizman Shor Kavan Ariyah. Right? We know that Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael, people kept 2 days, even in the ancient times, okay, and today as well. Today as well is the one Yantav. We always have an extra day. We have 2 days of Bina Sukkis, and towards the end, 2 days of the end of Sukkis, and 2 days of Bina Pesach, 2 days of the end of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuos, and so on. But in Eretz Yisrael, they never have 2 days, just Rosh Hashanah. That's the only exception. And even in the olden days, when they were, says the Rambam, in Perek Hei Halacha Zayin, when the Mekadosh Ariyah, when they waited to see the moon, very often it was a doubt. If again, quickly, we know that the new month, was established on the basis of witnesses seeing the moon. Every Jewish month has either 29 days or 30 days. Never more, never less. Never 28 like February, never 31 like, however that poem is, you know, 30 days, November, whatever. So they're never 31 in the Jewish calendar, never 28, 28. Always either 29 or 30. Why? Because scientifically, it's how long it takes the moon to revolve around the earth. It's 29 and a half days. So it's either 29 or 30. Most of the time, it's back and forth, but whatever. We won't go into details now about Kiddush HaChodesh, but every month is 29 or 30. So on day, when you come to day 29 of a given month, you know that tomorrow is either going to be day 30 of the outgoing month or day 1 of the new month, and that depends on whether the new moon is visible that night by Adam, and the whole process in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Mishnayos, and Gemaras that would come to Beis Din and would testify and have to make sure that they knew what they were talking about, and so on. In any event, that's good, but again, in the absence of communications, how do they let people know? So you remember that they had this system of fires and flares they would send up, but then that system got botched up. So they had to send, because people put the flares up on the wrong day, so they had to send out messengers. So if you live far away, sometimes the messengers didn't get there in time. So most of the time, doesn't matter. Who cares? You know, but if it's a Yantiv, let's say it's Nisan, and you have to know, is it Pesach, is it not Pesach? So they would have to, you know, we're waiting to hear, messenger, when did they make Rosh Chodesh? Was Rosh Chodesh Monday or Tuesday? So it depends. So it's tonight a Seder, we have to stop eating chametz, we have to eat matzo or not. So you have Misofek, he kept two. That's, in a nutshell, the origin of the 2 days. Today, we don't have it anymore. Today, we don't have those doubts anymore. We know exactly when, because around the year 350, they set up a mathematical computation that we can do to this day. So if you want to know when Yom Tov is, you look on the fridge. You have a calendar that tells you exactly when Yom Tov is. Right? So we know just as well as Eretz Yisrael, but the Gemara says in Beitza that we continue to observe the old tradition. Minhaga was saying Biyodena. But in any event, Rosh Hashanah, though, even in Yerushalayim itself, as the Rambam says, Alach HaChez, V'lo El Afilu B'Yerushalayim Atzma. Because Rosh Hashanah is on the first of the month, so there's no time to notify anybody if the when Rosh Hashanah was. So Lamaisa, even Pa'amim Rabbis, many times how you osin Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah Shnei Yomim Tovim. Okay, and Rambam explains the details. So Rosh Hashanah is different, and that's why the Mishnah in Menachos, which is talking about obviously Bizman Habayis, talking about the Lechem upon him. But there was a possibility of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah doesn't say anything, and this is the point I want to get to now. Look in Rashi, okay, look rather in Sugin Psachim. The Sugin Psachim, Mem Vav Med Beis, going over to Mem Zan Malav 13, quotes this very same in Menachos. It's a little slightly different variation in terms of the exact quote, but more or less the same idea, okay? It's referring to this Mishnah. Necha, Esve, Lechem Aponim, the very bottom of Mem Vav Med Beis, goes over to Mem Zan Malav. Lechem Aponim, Necha, Latisha, Lasar, Lacharas, etc., Lopoch, Leosa, Ketzad, and expels it out, exactly as we said. So the only possibility of it being pushed off to the 11th day is if Rosh Hashanah is Thursday and Friday. All the other Yom Tovim don't have 2 days, right? So Rashi makes an interesting comment on Mem, let's move to source 15, on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Rashi says, okay, again, explains all the details we said earlier. Look at the Rashi, Shnei Yomim Shor Rosh Hashanah, in 15. Cholu b'chamishi v'shishi. Let's say the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah landed on Thursday and Friday. Kigon. The Adim came late. Again, that's a detail of how that happened, but even in Eretz Yisrael, they had the 2 days. Okay? But what Rashi says at the end of that Rashi, we say, why didn't the Gemara bring up the possibility of 2 days of Pesach landed Thursday and Friday. Why did that Mishnah Menachos, quoted by the Gemara Pesachim, why did it mention only the possibility of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? What if Pesach was Thursday and Friday? What if Shavuos was Thursday, or Sukkot, whatever, was Thursday and Friday? Then it would also be that the Lechem upon him would be eaten later. So says Rashi, you're all anticipating, of course. He says, look at the last line of that Rashi. Ushnei yomim tovim shorosh Hashanah davka nakat. Dibizman Lechem upon him lo hayu shnei yomim tovim shogoyus. Because in the days of Lechem upon him, there was no 2 days. Rosh Hashanah was the only one, Taka, but it was a possibility of 2 days. There was no part. Then look at the Rashi. Bizman Lechem upon him lo hayu shnei yomim tovim shogoyus.
But even now, there's no shnei.
Oh, excellent. You mechavim to the tzlat kasha. So the tzlat, the Rebbe Yehuda. Cheskel of Prague, right? Cheskel Landau. In source 16, the tzlach on that Gemara Pesachim is medayik in Rashi and finds Rashi's statement a bit strange. What do you mean, de bizman lechem haponim lo hayu shnei yom tovim shel goyos? In the days when you had the lechem haponim, the days of the Mikdash, there were no 2 days. And today there is 2 days in Yerushalayim? No, there isn't. There's not 2 days in Eretz Yisrael. Why does Rashi say, de bizman lechem haponim lo hayu shnei yom tovim shel goyos? I mean, it's true, but not a din in Zman Lechem upon him, Zman HaMikdash. Now, there's also not 2 days. No, there's no Lechem upon him today, okay, but there's still no 2 days except Rosh Hashanah. The Rashi's language is a little bit strange. So look in the Slach in 16. He says, Vem to the Rosh Hashanah, Tom Shal Shana Dafka, Dibizman Lechem on, Yashneyam Tom Shal goes, Dvar of Temuim, says the Slach. And Rashi's, again, he's Medayak in Rashi. The language is a little strange. Demai Iriyam is Zman Lechem upon him. Why did Rashi say Zman Lechem upon him? The Otu Bizman say Yesh Birushalayim Shnei Yom Tovim, other than Rosh Hashanah Chutz B'Shem Tov Shnei Yom Tovim, and that's it. He leaves the Tzarach in. The Rebbe Yehuda says the Tzach says, and today there is days. It's a din in the Lechem Ponim. Certainly not. So that's the kasha that the Tzach has. He leaves B'Tzarach in. Okay, it's a Medayik in Rashi. Now, if you want to kvetch, you could say, okay, so Rashi, you know, the sugya was talking about Lechem Ponim. So Rashi says, in the days of Lechem upon him, they didn't have. Of course he knows, Rashi knows that Bizman Hazeh, there's also, even without the Lechem upon him, there's still no 2 days of Yontav other than Rosh Hashanah. So, but again, we're accustomed usually, as is the Tzlach, to being medayik in Rashi, and that Rashi was precise with his terminology, and he wasn't just, being careless, and you could say that, it wouldn't be the end of the world, in my opinion, to say that Rashi, yeah, you're right, but since the Sugah was talking about Lechem upon him, but, Al Pishnayim Edim Yochum Dover, there's a Rashi in Sukkah, okay? Mishnah in Sukkah is 17, in the fourth paragraph of Sukkah. Membeis Membeis. She was learning Sukkah this year. So the Mishnah says in Sukkah, the Mishnah says there are many different mitzvahs that relate to the Yom Tov of Sukkahs, and how many of the days of Sukkahs these mitzvahs will be in effect depends on different factors, depends on what day Yom Tov is. Does it start on Shabbos or not? We don't take the Lulav and Esrog on Shabbos. So it says, Lulav Arava Shisha V'Shiva. Okay, Lulav and Arava is either the Arava that's Oshanas, you know, that's either 6 days or 7 days. Okay, Hallel v'Simcha Shmona, saying Hallel in the midst of Simcha Shmona, that's all 8 days, including Shmonat Seres. Nisuch Hamayim Shiva, the special water libations, that was on the 7 days of Sukkot, not Shmonat Seres. Hecholil, Cholil is a flute, it means the instruments used in association with the so-called Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Right, the big party that they held in the Beis Hamikdash every night of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, they were dancing and singing all night long, you know, and so by some yeshivas and by the rebbes they have, you know, to this day sort of a commemoration of that, that late into the night on Chol HaMoed, each night of Chol HaMoed Sukkos was singing and dancing and so on. That was Chamisha V'Shish, either 5 or 6 days. So Rashi there in 18, Sukkah Membeis Membeis fills in the blanks, okay? What it means, six, it depends, because for example, the Cholol, and that's what we're interested in now. Let's look at that last Rashi. If you have time, look at the others. Okay, again, Simcha's Yontif, eating the meat from the Karbanos, Halal, that's all 8 days. Doesn't matter which day Shabbos, all 8 days. Others, it'll depend if Shabbos and Yontif coincide, if Shabbos and Yontif are besides, and so on. So anyway, look at the last Rashi, Cholol. Simcha's Beis HaShreva Yismechem Bechad. Lichvod Sheivas Nisuch Hamayim. Rashi, there was a big thing called the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. They would rejoice in honor of the drawing of the water used for the libations on the Mizbeach. Or Mechalim Becholol Chinoris. They would play the flute and harps and all kinds of interesting instruments. But also Cholol Eino Doch Yontif. But it would not be done on Yontif. Shir Zeh Lo Doch Lo Shabbos Al Yontif. Right? They would not be Doch Shabbos Yontif. Hilchok Pe'am Shir Hamisha Yom Bechag. Sometimes you would have this celebration 5 days. Kigon. Shalom Yom Tov Rishon B'Shabbos. The cave the Ladochi Yomtov a Koshik and Shabbos Shivacholoshamoid. Parshul Chamish, you do the math, 5 days left, because if Yomtov and Shabbos are separate. Upamishu Shisha, but sometimes you'd have six because Shabbos and Yomtov are the same. If Shabbos and Yomtov coincide, you have an extra day. To this day, it's like that. With the Simchas Beis Shoevas in Yerushalayim or in Borough Park or wherever you go, okay, in Shivas, because if Yomtov and Shabbos coincide, there's an extra day of Simchas Beis Shoevas because you don't lose two, you lose one. Okay. But look what Rashi says at the very end, the very last line of 18. The end of that Rashi, Yachol, Mem Beis Beis. De Bizman Mikdash Ein Osim Yom Tov Sheni. Very similar to that Rashi Psachim. He says, in the days of the Mikdash, they didn't have Yom Tov Sheni. So now already we have two places, because again, the Tzlach doesn't ask the Kasha here, and actually it's interesting, he doesn't quote this Gemara, but this Rashi, but it's the same question. What do you mean, Bizman Mikdash Ein Osim Yom Tov Sheni? Even without the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. Again, it's the same diuk. Okay, the same diuk that Tzlach had in the Rashi and Psachim. We have over here. So in two different places, Rashi seems to be stressing that when the Mikdash stood, there was never 2 days of Yom Tov. But the problem is that the Tzlach is, what do you mean when the Mikdash stood? Even today, without the Mikdash, there's still about 2 days of Yom Tov, other than Rosh Hashanah. So already in two different places, already it's a little bit of a kasha. So as I said, that's the Tzlach's kasha. So there's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, 19, where he answers. He says, Nihira Karavina Talya Ovri Derech Kehila Kedosha Prague. The Chassam Sofer tells a personal story. I remember when I was younger, I was traveling to Prague. Zochisi Liros Pnei Hagon Tzlach Zatzal. And I was Zochis, Chassam Sofer, a little younger than the Noda Behuda. I was, and find other tshuvas where he was kofuf today. He helped very much the Noda Behuda. So he, even though we disagree with him, but anyway, in terms of Psach, but the Chassam Sofer writes, he was once traveling and he came to Prague and he was Zochis to meet the Tzlach. V'amartilo, and I talked about this kasha. Again, it's a Jewish Chassam Sofer Chelik Eredeis and Reish Nun Beis. He says, Masha Tom Besifro, Pirish Rashi Anal, Hob Yerushalayim Afil Bizman Azeh, Lecha Beis Yom Tom Shal Gaius, Umay Iri Bizman Lechem Upon Him, etc. Vamarti Lo, and I said, wait a second, there is a possibility. Rashi's Meduyek, the Chassam Sofer says, because Milo Mishkachas Leid, Bisharov Chachme Yisrael Bechutz Lords, Velo Hinichu Kamosam Beret Yisrael, Sha'oz me'abrim shana v'kovim chadoshim b'chutz la'aretz k'mavur b'brochas samach gimel sofa med'alav gabi uvda d'chananya ben achi of Yeshua. He says there is a possibility that there are situations where Kiddush HaChodesh will take place in chutz la'aretz. Namely, when you have the G'dolei Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's nobody on par with them in Eretz Yisrael, then they will be ma'abrim shanim v'kov v'chadosh v'chutzarets. As he quotes the Gemara Brachas, we'll see momentarily, I put it printed in source 20. Brachas Samakimah, Gemara tells a story like that. And it's in the Rambam like that. In the end of Parakalat Hos Kiddush, we'll see it too. So now, v'yeh rechokim al-kein yasu sham shnei yom misofek v'yeh gam b'eret Yisrael b'yeh yom tom shol goyos. He said, now the table will be turned. If you have the greater Talmid HaChacham living in Bavel, or somewhere in Chutzlaretz, and they were the greater Torah scholars, so they would be me'aber the Shana, or for our purpose today, mekadesh chodesh and chutz la'aretz, and they would send out the messengers. Okay, so now Yerushalayim, if they're far, they'd be the reverse. Tak in Yerushalayim, they'd have to keep 2 days of Yontif because they didn't get the word. The same thing, and the tables turned. That's all. The same thing in the reverse. So al kain yas or karcha yasu sham shem isofik via gamber tzobei yom tov shel goyos. So therefore, the Mishnah Menachos shouldn't have just said Rosh Hashanah. It was possible, says the Chassam Sofer, that even Yerushalayim the Taka would be 2 days of Yontif even besides Rosh Hashanah. Says the Chassam Sofer, Elam Yishum She'i Efsha Zeh Bizman Lechem Upon Him. Rashi's Meduyuk. That idea that the Talmidei Chacham and Chutz La'aretz could Mekadesh Shechodesh was only so long as there's no Beis HaMikdash. But if the Beis HaMikdash is standing, it doesn't matter that the greater Talmidei Chacham and Chutz La'aretz. No, it doesn't help. When the Beis says the Chassam Sofer, She'ef says Zeb Zman Lachaponim, De'oz La'olam Bezdin HaGadol B'Yerushalayim Samach LaMikdash. Okay? After all, where did the Bezdin HaGadol have their chambers? Mamish in the precinct of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Lishkas HaGadol was on the compound of the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Chassam Sofer, yes, it's true. It is possible to have 2 days of Yom Tov in Yerushalayim. In this odd case where the Talmidei Chachamim were outside, or the great, the Gal Hador was outside, so he was Mekadesh HaKodesh outside, but not when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. When the Beis HaMikdash is standing, then it's the Beis HaMikdash. Even if they are inferior to Talmidei Chachamim, they're not as great as whoever it is that went to Babel or wherever else in Chutz Laaretz. Doesn't matter. The Beis it won out. He said, Abu Bizman Azeh. Nowadays, says the Chassam Sofer. Krahaya Efshar Shikra came. V'chashahai Meir Akiva. That's the case. It actually happened in the days of Akiva. So it says the Chassam Sofer. That's why Rashi's Meduyuk in Pesachim. And in, we'll add in Sukkah also. Because Rashi says, Bizman Lechem Aponim, it's taka an impossibility. When the Beis HaMikdash is standing, there is no possibility of having 2 days of Yontem Yerushalayim. Why didn't Rashi say, why did Rashi Bizman HaMikdash, why didn't he say we don't have, because it's possible for it to happen. But not Bizman HaMikdash. So Rashi's Meduyuk. I told this answer to Nodav Yehuda, to his Kasher, and it says, you look at the end, V'yashru Dvarai Be'ene HaGon Zal V'Omar Kalos. My words, he liked the pshat. Chalos was like, give me a shkarech. You know, the good, saying Yiddish, good gezot. You know, the Chassam Sofer attested that Rabbi Yehuda liked this pshat. So now we find it interesting. Let's just look quickly. You know, I printed out a lot of the Gemaras. We don't have time to go into great detail. But for example, the Gemara there is in Brachas, Samach Gimel Medalev, very end of Brachas, Samach Gimel Medalev, going over on Beis, source 20, that's what Chassam Sofer is referring to. Amar Saper, Bebevo, Hab Mishtoi, Kishiyarad Chanina ben Achir Bishua Legola, Chanina, the son of Yeshua, the son of the brother of Yeshua, the nephew of Yeshua, went to Golas, Harame Abir Shan Rekaveh Chadash Bechutzart. He Take was the Gal Hador, and he went to Babel, and he was Mekadesh HaKodesh. Gemara tells the story, he was Mekadesh HaKodesh Chutz Laaretz. However, they weren't happy there, because Shogur Achav Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur ben Beno, Shel Zechariah ben Klutal. Okay, two Talmidei Chachamim were sent by the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael to find this of Yeshua, Chanina ben Achiv of Yeshua in Babel. And when he first got there, I'll say it outside to save a few minutes, you read the Gemara. When he first got there, he was very impressed with them, and he said, he asked them why you come here, we want to learn from you. And he made a big announcement, oh, these are great Gedolei Hador, and so on and so forth. Okay? But as time went on, they began arguing about different things. He would paskin mutter, they'd say also, he would paskin tome, they'd say Torah, whatever. And he got annoyed with them, and he said, these guys are empty guys. And but they said, listen, you already gave us the credentials. You already announced that we're good, so you can't. So they said, what do you want from me? Why you come here? So he said, Amrulo, you look at maybe 6 or 7 lines down. Mipnesh, why you come after me? Why are you starting up with me? Mipnesh, atama aber shonam, koveh charashim chotzorets, because you're koveh the chodesh here. So he said, what's the problem? Hello, Akiva ben Yod, Akiva did it. Hello, Kiva and Yosef. I am Abir Shon Rabbi Kaveh Chadash Mechutz Laaretz. Rabbi Kiva did it. So what are you yelling at me for? Amulo Hanach Rabbi Kiva Shalom Niach Kamos of Eretz Yisrael. Said Rabbi Kiva, when he left, there was nobody like him in Eretz Yisrael. So with due modesty, he said, Amalam Afani. I also died. When I left, nobody is like me either. So he had the famous statement, Amulo Gedim Sheinachto Nasu Tioshim. The little billy goats that you left behind grew into full-fledged goats. In other words, some of the young fellows who were learning when you were there now grew up into big Talmidei Chachamim themselves, and the Taka are Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael as well, and therefore, okay. So anyway, that's the Gemara. At the very end of the Gemara, on the Amud Beis part, you look at the last line there, and so it's 20, who says that where is the source that it goes by Eretz Yisrael? Shenemshum Shenemar, Kimitzion Taitse Sarad Var Hashem Yushalayim. We all know that pasuk, right? And Rashi again fills in the blanks. You move to source 22. So that's the Gemara in Brochus, which some so was referring, where you see that Gemara, that Rebbe Kiva. Okay, the 22 is a continuation of the Rashis and so on. We're not going to read all that now. The Pasuk of Kimitzion takes this, but a lot of people don't realize it. It's the second half of a Pasuk. Okay, I printed in 23. It's Yeshaya Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel. There's the first half of the Pasuk. The second half is more famous, right? Kimitzion Teite Sora. Okay, so that's, we know, Tzion Yerushalayim, that's where Hora comes from, and that's why they really, under ordinary circumstances, it has to come from Yerushalayim, unless Rabbi Kiva, some of the, how many Rabbi Kivas are there? But you, in terms of Rabbi Hanania, they explained to him that there are other Talmidei Chachamim now in Eretz Yisrael. What's interesting is there's another sugya that that revolves around this question, Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes a different pasuk. In Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Hay of Devarim 24, it says, refers there to the famous part of the end of the pasuk, L'shichno Sidrushu Uvasa Shama. So it's based on that pasuk that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Yud Aleph Beis says, Tana Rabbana, Ein Me'abin Es Hashem El Bihuda V'Imruva Galal Muberes. We never have Ibur Shana other than in Eretz Yehuda, but B'nyavid is good in Galil, in the Galil also, the Galil also. Okay? And you certainly can't do it And as a machlokes, you know, can you do it in galo? And the Gemara quotes the pasuk l'shichno sidrus uvasa shama. Okay, so the question is a little bit, it's strange because our Gemara in Brachas quotes the pasuk kimitzion taitzei sora, and the other pasuk l'shichno sidrus uvasa shama. So first of all, before we get to that, Tosas there in Sanhedrin aleph and beis dima masla ein ma'abron hashana, and Tosas in Yevamos kuftes vavman aleph dima masla amir akiva. Okay, that's where the Gemara says. You look at the Dibra Maskel 28. It says, Amar Bekiva, Kishiradati l'Nahardo, l'Aber Shana. I went to Nahardo, that's in Babel, to be Ma'aber the Shana. So you have both places, Tosas lists circumstances under which Bekiva, another place of Meir, the great Tamar Chachamim left Eretz Yisrael for whatever the reason, and they did Kiddush HaKadosh HaKutz Arts. So if you're interested in seeing some of the details of that, because the Gemara, the Tosas of Mechalek, sometimes they just did the calculations in Chutz Arts, but the actual declaration was in Eretz Yisrael. Again, we don't have the time to go into that now, but you're welcome to look it over. Okay, the Marsha in Brachas, the Afsamakim Urbe is at 29. The Marsha in Brachas is bothered by why do you have to have two different psukim? Why do you have the pasuk l'shichno sidrushu? That's the Gemara that both psukim work. Okay, what is l'shichno sidrushu? Bidore shechina, right? These issues should be in the place of the shechina. Right, that's a pasuk in Chumash, and then you have the pasuk in Yeshaya, Kimitzion Teitzei Sar Dvar Hashem Yishalayim. Why the two different psukim? That's the Marsha is bothered by. So you look in the Marsha in Brachas Samuk Gimel Beis, the Ramaskim Yishum Shenemar 29. He says with Tosas Per Kamos and Hedim Hikshu, and really Tosas Kasha. Why have a different pasuk? And so Tosas gives a sort of a different teretz, basically. It's almost a baladish teretz of Tosas. The Gemara sometimes does that. The Gemara sometimes has different psukim. But the Marsha has a little more of a lumdus here. Marsha says, I'll tell you why. Because they're talking about two different eras in Jewish history. He says, V'nirli Yashiv, Dele Meshichno Sidr Zubas Hashem Alo Imit Chutzlaritz Ela Bizman Shebeis Hamikdash Kayam. What does the pasuk mean? Leshichno Sidr Shul. Okay, go to the place of the Shechina. Where's that? You're saying the Mikdash. Yeah, that's good when there is a Mikdash. Okay, now we know this may depend on the question whether Kitchel or Sidlova is going to end up a tailor, but on a simple level, right? The Shekhinah is resting in Yerushalayim when there's a Beis HaMikdash present. So that pasuk with Shichno Sidrushu says the Marsha of the Gemara in Sanhedrin was talking about in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so Shichno Sidrushu. But the Haino Shichno, Bizman Shashchinah, Shorisham, Al Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Lo Imut Mahu Kro. That pasuk doesn't do it. What do you mean Shichno Sidrushu? That won't tell you that you can't do it outside of Yerushalayim. There's no Shechina to talk about in the same way. And so therefore, they have the other pasuk, the other pasuk, because it's Torah. It's Torah. So where does Torah come from? So that also comes from Yerushalayim. Well, we can add, and it's not a little says this there, but we can add and say the following is very meduic according to what we're suggesting. Because when there's a Beis HaMikdash, it's the Shechno Sidrushu. This din of Kiddush HaChodesh, and Gemara again, the Sanhedrin Yadalav applies that pasuk to our question of Kiddush HaChodesh, has to be done where? In the place of the Shechina. It's not a function where you have bigger Tamar HaChamim, less big Tamar, you have a Bezdin with Shechno Sidrushu. But in the absence of the Shechina, meaning after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, so now what is Kiddush HaChodesh? It's Kimitzion Teitzei Torah. It's under the realm of Torah. Where's Torah? Wherever the biggest Tamar HaChamim are. So change, the situation changed. In the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, it goes by where the Gedolah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Meir, again, those Tosas, you can see who, this is Chananya, Ben Achi Yerushu, at least for a while, he was the biggest Talmud Chacham until they told him there are other big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, and so on. In other words, so it says, by Marsha, that's not the saying in effect, okay, and it's Meduic in the Rambam also. Take a look in sources 31 and 30 of the Rambam. Kilchus Kiddush HaChodesh Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches. Ein Mechashim, Nekovin Chadoshim, Ab Mishalah, El Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, what puzzle did you quote? Kimitzion Teitzei Sorah, quotes the Rambam. Right? Quotes the pasuk based on the Gemara Brachas. Right? V'mhoya Adam Gadol B'chochma. But if there's a great Talmud Chacham who got smicha in Eretz, I haven't told him he had the real smicha. The real smicha had to be not Eretz. With due respect to our yeshiva and all the other yeshivas, we don't have the real smicha. Not me, not anyone else here. Okay? The real smicha means in Eretz Yisrael. It's all, okay. But that means it had to be someone with the real smicha. V'yotzo L'chutz Al Eretz V'lo Hiniach Be'eretzo Kamosa. But like the Gemara in Brachas, if somebody comes and informs that what some great Talmud Chacham have developed and matured in Eretz Yisrael, if ain't Talmud Chacham Gadol Menah, you're certainly greater. Harei Zeh also, you can't do it. Okay, and it doesn't count if he does. So the Rama in Perek Aleph Halacha Ches quotes what pasuk? Kimitzion Teitzei Sora. In Perek Gal Halacha Yud Beis 12. The Rambam says, "Higher Rosh Bezan Al Gadol and so on." So He's in charge. And look at the second line. That's what's relevant for us. Ve'ein ma'abr nishal ela be'eretz Yehuda sh'ashchina b'socha sh'nema l'shichna sidvisho. So why did the Rambam quote those were Medayik and the Rambam? Why didn't Perek Aleph he quoted the Pasuk Kimitzion Teitzei Sorah, and in Perek Dalet he quoted the Pasuk of l'shichna sidvisho? So we already saw it. It's not the Rambam. The Gemara has two different psukim, right? You can ask, and the Rambam, why did the Rambam quote the Gemara? Did, but the same question. What? So the answer is, he could say based on that Marashah. In Perek Aleph, where the Rambam goes on to say that yes, you have to do it in Eretz Yisrael, but if there's no one like you in Eretz Yisrael, do it Chutz Aretz. That's the Pasuk Kimitzion Teitzei Sorah. That's after the Zman HaBayis. But in Perek Dalet Chidbeis, notice that the Rambam does not go on to he told Ibrahim Hashem to say that if there's nobody like you, you can do it. No, you can't. Not when L'shichna Sidushu is involved. It doesn't matter if they're bigger Taman Chomer outside. So it's also Meduyuk, really, in the Rambam. Right? The Rambam quotes the Pasuk Kimitzion Teitzei Sorah when referring to the possibility there's an exception. Namely, if the bigger Taman Chomer outside, because it didn't Torah, like the Marashah says. Mashenu Kain, in Perek Dalet, when he's talking about the Pasuk L'shichna Sidushu, then it's got to be in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter if the bigger Taman Chomer elsewhere. As long as you have a Bezin, you do it there. And it also looks like that a little bit from a Ramban. And his asogos to the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Rambam Kuf Nun Gimel, that's the Mitzvah Sefer of the Rambam, he talks about Kiddush HaChodesh. So look in 33. Ye royally, it appears to me, says the Rambam, whenever you see that in the Rishonim, you know, there's something big coming. Ye royally, you know, it would appear to me. You know, the Rambam does that sometimes. You know that that's going to be a lot of literature about it. But anyway, Ye royally, right? Shebizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Shayubez and Gadol Bimkomam V'lohem Harishus Nesuna Min HaKosu Shenemar, quote a different pasuk in Gantz, V'asisal Pia Dovah Sheyagilu Chavin HaMokam Sheyuchah Hashem, and so on. Lo Harishus L'shum Odom L'Aber L'Kadesh Elohem O Bershusam. The Ramban, you could be Medayik, he said, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, no one else, I don't care who you are, the biggest Talmid Chacham, the Gadol HaDor, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, when there's a Bezin HaGadol Yerushalayim, they're the only ones who have the right to do this and not anybody else. So you could also die. When is that? When the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Right? That's what Ramban says. Shebizman, Shebeis HaMikdash Kaya. But in the absence of Beis HaMikdash, then it goes by with a big Talmid Chacham Mar. So it's interesting. It's interesting, just to finish up, and then we'll come back to our question. We'll understand maybe the issue of the fifth of Teves. Okay? There is a sugi in Erechin, which is Nogea Alocha L'maisa. There's a Mishnah, Erechin Chesam Beis, 24, okay, 34, I mean. The Mishnah says, part of the Mishnah, this is one of these Mishnayos which, in Maseches Erechin, that have, you know, things that are similar in some ways and not similar in other ways. And so this is one of the things which has, it's true about some things, not others. So it's a collection of Mishnayos that are, you know, nothing to do with Erechin, but it came up incidentally. So it says, Ein Poch, since it mentions our issue of the Lechem upon him. All right, look at the second line. Lechem upon him, ein nachol pochus mites, but yes, alacharasa. We talked about that already. The lechem upon him can be eaten no fewer than 9 days since it's baked, no more than 11, as we explained. Then it adds some which we didn't have. Ein katon nimo pochus mites, velo yesa al shnei masar. Barring illness, we can't do the bris of this man. Okay, barring illness, a cotton, the bris of a cotton is no more, no less than 8 days, do it properly, no less than 8 days, and no more than 12. Okay, what's going on here? So Rashi, you know, fills in the blanks, okay? And we'll just say it outside, in effect, because just to save a few minutes. Normally, a bris is on the eighth day. But let's say a child is born, even if it's Shabbos, a bris on the eighth day, right? Mila b'zmana, we have even on Shabbos. But let's say a baby is born on Friday afternoon, Friday evening, bein hashmashos, right? It maybe should be Shabbos, not Shabbos, and so on. So now, really, on the count, probably the eighth day, probably the ninth day, the eighth day would be Shabbos, but the bris would be the ninth day. Okay, we would not do the bris on the day. Actually, now what if, so I remember a case when I was in the yeshiva, it was a guy who had twins. Okay, it was a strange guy who had twins. The first baby was born on Friday evening, Ben Hashmashas. Okay, and the second baby was Vare Shabbos. So second baby had the bris first on Shabbos. So by the time the second baby came, it was definitely Shabbos. The first baby was born earlier on Friday, I had the bris on Sunday. The guy had twins, he still had to make two sudas. it was a quirk, because the second baby had the bris first. Because second baby was Vare Shabbos, so Mila was Manas Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara there also has a situation, and so what if Sunday is Yontif? Okay, what if Sunday and Monday Yontif? So get in that. So that's what's going on here. And the reference that the Rashi makes, or the Gemara makes, is to a Mishnah Shabbos Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Look at 36. Okay, the Mishnah says Kotan Nimel Shmol Tishla Asar La Chadasol Shnei Masar Lo Pachzor. So Hakeitzad. The Mishnah spells it out. Kedarko Lishmona. Noel ben Hashmashos, Nimol Tisha. Ben Hashmashos, Erev Shabbos, Nimol Asara. If Ben Hashmashos is Erev Shabbos, it will be the 10th, because he's counting, Friday is the, as already the, Friday is the 8th, and then the 9th, so it's Brisim and Sunday, which is the 10th. Yom Tov Lachar Shabbos, Nimol Lachar, El Chadasar. Shnei Yom Shosh Hashanah, Nimol Shnei Masar. Okay, but of course, Katna Chola, Ein Mochon, a Molon, also a Chiyab. If you're sick, it's a different story altogether. So that's the Mishnah Shabbos. So the Rambam in Hilchos Milah, the Mishnah noticed it said what? 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Means Sunday and Monday Rosh Hashanah. That can't happen, by the way, according to our calendar nowadays. Rosh Hashanah is never Sunday and Monday. It's never Sunday Monday. It could be Monday Tuesday, but not Sunday. Monday low, Adu Rosh. Right? So Rosh Hashanah never started on a Sunday, according to our law. But at the time when they were Mekadesh, based on the moon, it could be. So Sunday and Monday are Rosh Hashanah. So why did the Mishnah say Sunday? Why could be Sunday, Monday, could be Pesach? That can't happen. Or Sunday, Monday, Shavuot. I think this year that happens. It's coming, you know. Shavuot, I think, is Sunday, Monday. So that can happen. So it's interesting. The Rambam paskened in Hilchos Mila Perak Alav Halacha Tes 38. Mila bismana docha Shabbos. Shalom bismana ain't a docha lo. So Shabbos was a yontif. And bain bismana bain shalom bismana docha. So that's a different issue. That's the Rambam Halacha Tes. Halacha Tes Vav. The Rambam says, it mentions uveshne. Look at the second part. Okay. V'chol mi she'enu doches a Shabbos enu doches yontif rishon, but v'doches yontif sheni. Halacha l'maisa. What if you have a mila shalom bezmana? It's Yom Tov Sheni. It's the second day of Sukkot. It's Simchas Torah. It's the second day of Pesach. Eighth day of Pesach. Second day of Shavuos. Do we do a mila on that day? It's a mila shalom bezmana. Mila bezmana. Of course we do. Even on Shabbat. Mila shalom bezmana. So according to Rambam, yes, you would do a mila shalom bezmana on Yom Tov Sheni. She'll go. Okay, good. That's probably the reason, right? Okay, because Mrs. Asay Doraisa, whatever the reason is. That's the Rambam passes, right? It's just Shnei Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. With Rosh Hashanah, it's not Docha 2 days, says the Rambam. Okay? Says the Rambam, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, because Yom Arichta, Kedush Achas, and so on, so 2 days of Rosh Hashanah will wait. Where did the Rambam get that from? So the Kesef Mishnah in 49 points out, 40 rather, points out, from that, that's the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. It mentioned Rosh Hashanah, that's the Mishnah rather in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Zayin, right? It mentions Rosh Hashanah. However, there's a tshuva from the Rosh, which I printed in 39, Chal Chavav, it's really Simon Zayin, but in some editions it was appended, whatever. Okay, but Chal Chavav at the end, the Rosh and the Kesef Mishnah quotes it. The Rambam is right, and the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says, and the subsequent source, it's a major machlokas haposkim arei yom hazeh, whether we do a mila shalom bizmana on the second day of Yontif. Not Rosh Hashanah, but Rosh Hashanah we don't. But a mila shalom bizmana, is that docha Yontif sheni or not? The big machlokas. And the interesting, the mechaber, interesting enough, in 41, you know, Hilchos Milas and Rei Samavav Sivches, mechaber passes like the Rosh. Okay? He says that it's not docha. Look at the second line there, 41. Hilchos Milas and Rei Samavav Sivches. V'chein ein adoch yontav misafek. Afilu yontav shen shal goyis. Okay, we don't do a mila shalom bezmana yontav shen shal goyis. Not just Rosh Hashanah, but anything else. The shach is caught in ches. Excuse me, he says lefian is daiti niriki karamba. I hold like the Ramba that it is doch yontav sheni. And the pischei tshuva in Simchat Zayin quotes all the it's a big machlokas aposkim arei yom hazeh. But the Shaila, what made the Rambam say that Rosh Hashanah is different? That's only 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that a mila shalom bizmana is not docha, but is the, so I would say because that's what the Mishnah said. You look back in 36, the Mishnah said, okay, Mishnah gave Shnei Yomim Shal Rosh Hashanah. Why didn't the Mishnah say any Shnei Yomim Tovim? Why did the Mishnah say Shnei Yomim Shal Rosh Hashanah? The Rambam says that leaves room for me to be medayik. And say that's Dafke Rosh Hashanah, that it's not Doche, but it is Doche. Yom Tov Sheni, so the other Yom Tov, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, right? That's like a good kasha. So the Rosh says, because the Mishnah quotes the Rosh, again, look in 39 and 40, no, there's no Raya. You know why the Mishnah didn't mention Yom Tov Sheni, the other holidays? It doesn't happen. That's why. Right? Yom Tov Sheni, Eretz Yisrael, where's the Mishnah written? Mishnah was compiled in Eretz Yisrael. We don't know if he wrote the Mishnah in Eretz Yisrael. So if I state it, why did he give Rosh Hashanah as the example? Because that's what's relevant in Eretz Yisrael, right? So that's why, so says the Rosh, you can't be medayik from there that it's not true of the other Yom Tov Sheni Shal Goyos of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. It's true there too. Why didn't the Mishnah say it? Because the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael. We don't have 2 days. So how's the Rambam medayik? So according to us, it's very good. Okay, according to what we said today, it's very good. Because Takeh, guess what? It could happen in Eretz Yisrael too. The way we described it. If you have a situation after the Chorban of the Gedolah Adorah living in Chutz La'aretz and being Mekadosh HaChodesh in Chutz La'aretz, Yutaka could have 2 days in Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't the Mishnah mention that? So Rambam says, because it's taka true only Rosh Hashanah. You know, the sheishel goes, it is dovim. So therefore you have two different shitas. To come full circle, to conclude, so what does all this have to do with us? So what the author of the Sefer Rabbi Shulman suggests in Shomer Pesach is the following. Assuming that what he said here is correct, that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was now Kiddush HaChodesh done by the Gedolei Torah who were in Chutzah. We already explained. The Gedolei Hador, the Harosham, Masker, they were already led away 11 years before the Chorban. They were in Eretz. The Gedolei Torah were in Chutzah. The Yechezkel Navi, I mean Mordechai, and something Daniel, and Hanan, Mishael, all these, they were in Chutzah. They were in Bavel. But as long as the Beis HaMikdash was standing, they were not in the Kiddush HaChodesh in Chutzah. Because the din is, while the Beis HaMikdash is standing, it doesn't matter. As long as there is a functioning Beis HaMikdash, they would be Mekadosh HaChadosh. What happened on the 5th of Teves was a change in the halachic status of Yerushalayim. From then forward, now, at least for that epoch, until Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael, but at that point, it became what? That Yerushalayim lost its primacy, even from a halachic point of view. And now it works out very well. Because according to the Shimon, again, we don't pass it that way. So we didn't fast today, or yesterday, or Shabbos, we fast Thursday, it's a Sarbat day, we should keep it. But the Shita of Shimon works out very nicely. Because what was a progression? Shavuos and Tammuz, they breached the walls. Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But even after the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, there was still what the Rambam calls a Gacheles, there was still a cold, there was still a vestige of authority in Eretz Yisrael. There was Gedalia, there was a Jewish government, there was something. Right, no Beis HaMikdash. Then they assassinated Gedalia, that was the end of that. But there was still at least, okay, as far as the Jews of Babel knew, there was still at least the Beis Din Yerushalayim was Kovei the Chadashim. Because the people of Babel didn't know that there was no Beis HaMikdash. Now they found out the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So now the seat of authority, so to speak, of Yerushalayim in terms of Kiddush HaKol, that too was gone. So that in that sense, that was the final blow, so to speak. It happened on Tisha B'Av, but the Jews in Chutzah didn't know about it. So that's why, says Reb Shimon, we were Koveya the 5th of Tevis, because that was the day a change was implemented vis-a-vis the halachic, so to speak, status of Yerushalayim in terms of Kiddush HaChodesh. Now they knew there's no Beis HaMikdash, so we have to be Mekadosh HaChodesh here going forward. And therefore, that's perhaps the swar behind Reb Shimon as to why he said we should establish the fast of Tevis, should be the 5th of Tevis, not the 10th of Tevis. Again, we Paschal Bekivas, so we should all eat as much as we want and have snacks as much as we like today, and we'll fast this coming Thursday, or at least we understand the Shita of Reb Shimon. I'll stay here. I don't hold the next sheet, so if anyone wants to ask any questions, I'll stay. Okay, have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.